Good to see you tonight. Thanks for tuning in, if you are, and for being here. Appreciate you being so faithful. Let's go, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Can you go back there? I know you can. 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30, entitled tonight, Down But Not Out. Down But Not Out. We're looking and like to look, several messages hopefully, on some of the things that can really defeat a child of God. And not necessarily an unbeliever, but a child of God, someone who's saved. And the first we'll look at tonight, Down But Not Out, 1 Samuel 30. And we see a great picture here. It says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Notice this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Very interesting story that, happens with David, and David's serving the Lord and being faithful to God and not transgressing and not doing anything really sinful at this point, but actually fulfilling the will of God for his life. And that's what we're doing here, Lord willing, tonight with our lives. And yet there came trouble into his life, trouble into his family, and problems came. And, you know, I think none of us will really maybe ever experience something like this. But you think about David went through this, and they came in, and they burned the city, and they took his children and took his wives, and they assumed everyone was dead and gone. Because when an army came into a city, you know that they didn't leave people. It was usually slaughter everybody, burn the city, and take all the good stuff. Take the gold, silver, and the sheep, and the cattle, and whatever else you can take. So they assumed that everyone was dead and everything was gone. And not only that, David had to deal with that himself. Then the people that were with him came and said, you know what, David, this is your fault. This is your fault. We said last Sunday morning about Moses, and somebody has to be blamed for the problem. Somebody. Whether it be government, parents, family, someone has to be blamed. And that's how we are naturally as human beings. But they said, David, it's your fault. And by the way, we're going to kill you. We've got a council together, and we're possibly going to kill you as well. But it says David apparently got alone with God and encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Encouraged himself. And so often thinking about this and really thinking tonight about being down but not out as a believer, discouragement can really hamper and hinder a walk with the Lord. All of us have been there, haven't we? All of us have had discouragement in our lives from time to time. In fact, we probably had discouragement every single day of our lives. At some point or some increment, there's discouragement. Now, to a believer, this is a usual, regular thing in our lives. It doesn't matter our circumstance or status in life. Everybody faces discouragement. I like the adage, and you've probably heard it before too, but the old country guy was driving in his pickup one day, and he was so discouraged, and everything, his wife left, everything just is going down south. And he reached up, and he accidentally put the cassette in backwards, and he played the song backwards, and he got his wife back, his dog came back to life, and he quit drinking. But we laugh at that, because if you've listened to any of that music, that's exactly what it is. It's repeated over and over and over. And you think about people are really discouraged at times and frustrated. I like the quote here that there's two types of Christians, those that get discouraged and quit, and those that get discouraged and don't quit. Isn't that true? We're all facing discouragement, frustration, and heartaches, and at times pain and difficulty that come our way, but we keep on going. David gives us a wonderful example. It says he encouraged himself. Only time in Scripture used in this way that someone encouraged, it's usually spoken of somebody encouraged somebody else, you know. Friends came and encouraged, pastor came and encouraged, a spouse encouraged. It says David encouraged himself. It sounds a little bit weird if you think about it. It sounds maybe a little bit selfish in some ways to think, how can you do that if that's even possible? But it truly is. As you're a child of God, you know that. We find ourselves often in this state of being, something that everyone must deal with. Now, if you ever do get discouraged and you think that, well, I don't know what to do, I hope you can be encouraged with some of these points here tonight as we think about. I can remember many times in my own life, and you can as well, just discouragement. And I recall one specific incident where I had really no money at one point, and still working on that, but working, and went out, and I told my wife, and we only had one child at the time, and I went out and I said, honey, I'll go get us some lunch and this and that, and went out, went to the drive-up, and it was at one of the fast food. I won't name the name because I don't want to look bad, but I said, can I get some things off the dollar menu? Like, it came out to like $5. I didn't have any cash, but I had a credit card, and I thought, well, just swipe it. $5 is nothing. Swiped it. She said, sir, I'm sorry, your card is declined. For $5, you feel about that big? And I thought, oh, I forgot to, I probably messed, something's wrong with that credit card. Don't worry about it. I'll be back in a little bit. I just took off, you know. And I thought, I went over and parked in the parking lot, and I thought, oh my goodness, I can't even buy a couple burritos or anything there. And you've ever been there before, you feel that way, very discouraged. Wonderful examples given to us throughout Scripture. We see some of these. Exodus chapter 17, I just wanted to point out Moses once again. I know we've been talking about him recently, but Exodus 17, if you're there, notice verse 2, it says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? He's saying, what would you asking me for? You want me to do something of a miracle? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Here they go again, blaming Moses. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou mightest smote the river, take in thine hand and go. So Moses goes and he does this thing, you know, and he performs a miracle and all of that. But the people come to Moses again and say, what'd you bring us out here for? To kill us? To make us suffer? And Moses, very, as we know, is the meekest man on earth. He said, basically, didn't say anything, but he said, why you tempt the Lord? Moses could have said, hey, listen, I had a good job on the backside of the desert. I was about to retire. I had a wife and kids, and I came down here to deal with you ding-dongs, you fools, and you've done nothing but chide with me, the word is used. You've done nothing but argue with me and blame me for this, and I'm trying to deliver you. Examples here of people being discouraged, frustrated, and sometimes discouragement comes, although we're doing things right and although we're living for the Lord and although we're walking in His will, people will come into our lives and chide with us or try and get at us and point the finger at us and blame us for things, whatever the case would be. We know the story of Elijah, 1 Kings 19, and Elijah, how he was discouraged and how that God worked in his life, and that we see He tells Elijah in one instant to go, what? Come out of the cave and stand. Right? Elijah was discouraged. He knew Jezebel was after him and ready to kill him and ready to take him. And she put a bounty out on his head and said, if anybody finds him, you go ahead and kill him. You can take him out. I want him gone. As you think about that. Several other examples we know. With David, John the Baptist, you think of him. John the Baptist was confused in a state of, as he was discouraged and depressed in some way. And I shouldn't use the word depressed, but just discouraged in that jail cell, sitting there, wasn't he, rotting away. And he told his apostles, go out and see Jesus and ask him, is he the one or should we look for another? And they went out and Jesus tells them to observe all the things that he did, healing the blind and the lame. And he comes back in John the Baptist and we don't hear another word from John the Baptist, by the way, after that. So we apparently assume that he went to the chopping block with peace on his heart. He said he is the Messiah, and I am here for this reason, and I'm content with that. I'm glad because I'm fulfilled the will of God for my life. Discouragement. Peter, again, another example, Luke 22, as we see that Peter is just discouraged, he's frustrated, doesn't know what to do. They come into the garden to arrest Jesus, and the only thing he knows to do is take out a sword and fight with it. And he swings it, and he takes his ear off, doesn't he? But he's discouraged. He doesn't know what to do. And we've all been there before. As you think about the characters throughout Scripture, we could go on and on. Ruth, just recently read through Ruth, and how they were discouraged. They had nothing. Her husband had died. Naomi's husband died. They had nothing to eat. They came back to town, and everyone was whispering, you know, what are they doing back? They failed over there. They didn't make it. And we see the scourge. And she went forth by faith. And because of that, God honored that faith and Boaz. And then we see the lineage come of David. Job, I don't need to talk about Job, but Job lost everything. Discouragement came. You see, in all of these characters, they always look to God and say, God, I want to know what you want me to do. God, I'm not going to quit and throw in the towel. I want to know what you want me to do. And we're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We may lose it sometimes and go off the handle. We may get upset at times. We may lose our faith at times in a way of saying, God, I don't know what to do. But God says if we'll stay true to Him, He'll bless us. He'll take care of us. And every one of them did. And that's what Moses said. Moses said, hey, why don't you go to the Lord with this? Now, wonderful examples. Some causes of discouragement. I don't need to belabor this. You know, you folks know this. But people, disappointments, other things in our lives. People can be a contributor, one of the main to our discouragement. We must understand and look at this and see what is bringing the discouragement. What do I need to address maybe in my life? Disappointments. We've disappointed others. We've disappointed ourselves, if you will. We must remember that God does not necessarily want us to go through and never make a mistake, but what? He wants us to continue to grow and build. We've seen that in the book of James, haven't we? And James brings it out so clearly for us to be mature and grow and develop, if you will. And keep moving. Keep moving. stresses and fears and insecurities, all these things come to our lives. Now, back in our text here, if you would, go back to 1 Samuel 30. And you think about the situation at hand. It's challenging, to say the least. But David did something incredible. Now note that nobody else with him did this. No, none of the other men did this. He got alone and encouraged himself in the Lord. He went. He prayed. Verse 8, if you will, continue. Notice, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Is it even worth it? Is everyone gone and dead? I mean, what should I do? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, which where those that were left behind stayed. Now, just a thing that David inquired of the Lord. Notice that, inquired. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what should I do next? And so important for us to do that, isn't it? Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? What do I do now, Lord? But his questions are, do I take a step forward by faith? It wasn't, Lord, now that I'm here, Lord, I don't know what to do, and you need to send people my way to help me and bless me and encourage me. No. David said, what are the steps that I need to take? What are the initial steps that I need to do? How do I activate my faith in my life, Lord? What do you want me to do? David inquired at the Lord. When we face an opposition in our lives or discouragement, always inquire at the Lord. And the Lord may allow it for two things, positive and negative. You know that. He may allow it into our lives to help us to grow and develop. He also may help bring it into our lives to help us reassess some things and say, you know, I'm not where I should be in this area. But he says, pursue. Wonderful thing about the Lord is the Lord answers him. In fact, you know the name Samuel is Samuel means what? The God that hears. The God that hears me. Hannah prayed for Samuel. Said God said, okay, gave her a son. And she said, Lord, I'll give him back to you. And she gives this praise in the beginning chapters of the book of 1 Samuel. And it basically to the effect of what? the God that hears. Praise the God that hears my cry, my prayers. Praise the God that listens to me. It's a fascinating thing to think about, that we serve a God that literally hears us and is willing to answer us. With the billion upon billion of prayers and requests being thrown up to him every minute of the day. Can you imagine? And yet he hears my little measly prayers. I shouldn't say measly, but my small prayers. My voice, me as an individual here on the backside of the mountain in a sparse state, in a little city, he hears us, doesn't he? And he wants to hear us, by the way. He encourages us to talk to him and come to him. But anyways, he inquired at the Lord, and the Lord heard him. He went out, and he did what he was supposed to do. You can imagine now, notice this, they go forward in pursuing this army, not knowing what they're going to find, right? They don't know what they're going to find. They could find, by the time they get there, they've already killed everybody. Or they've already ravaged all the women. Or they've already destroyed everything. I don't know what, but he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, pursue, go forward. The story goes on, and I won't read all the chapter, but they pursue him and they overtake him and they get everyone back. And the wonderful rejoicing that is done. Notice verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them. Notice, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Good thing to underline in your Bible. David recovered all. All. And that's what God will do. He recovers everything. And by the way, you give anything to God, you will never regret it. It's always returned to you at least double. There's things that you give to God. Time you're giving right now to be faithful to church. You'll reap from that. It'll come back to you. The time you're giving in your prayer time and Bible reading and whatever else you may do personally with scripture memorization or sharing the gospel or putting a track on your coworker's car or at the grocery store, putting a track on someone's windshield or door handle or something. You think these things don't really matter, Lord, but I have a burden to do them. Well, God gave you that burden. And when you do those things, those small steps of faith, listen, God, when you take the initiative to recover from an argument or fight within your own marriage quicker than usual, I'll just get it. Let's do it. Let's get this over with. Let's get over with this so we don't drag this out. When you do that, what? God honors that. And you double, brings back double. Again, finances, don't need to go there. But you give to God what he's given to you. And God will always bring back double. You think about more than double, I should say. But understanding, again, notice this, that as he was discouraged, he went to God. He went to God. Moses, Elijah, David, all of these individuals. Stressful situations. Stressful. I can't imagine leading multi-million people. Several million people. I mean, at least. We don't know how many Israelites came out of Egypt. It's a big debate. But, several million people. I don't know. Can you imagine leading that many people and every one of them? You remember Moses' father-in-law comes and says, Moses, you're going to die. All these people are waiting in line to talk to you. Well, I got to deal with each one by one. They all got a problem. Each one. You're going to die, Moses. You're going to stress out in the next 2 weeks and die with an aneurysm. But these individuals had so much stress on them, but notice what they did. Every one of them, I list these three characters, Moses, Elijah, and David. Every one of them spent daily time with God. Daily time. David didn't come and said, Lord, I need to encourage myself in you. I know I haven't done this in a couple weeks, but David was on a regular basis with him. Fear gripped the hearts of these men. The fear did not overtake them, but it did grip their hearts. Every day, you can imagine, David, we know, was running most of his life. 3/4 of David's life was running from enemies. People wanted to kill him. His own son came, Absalom, wanted to kill him. He ran and did all these things and all that he went through. And we know that, again, mentioning Philippians 4, that giving all of your prayer and supplication to him and he'll give you the peace that passes understanding. The peace. Paul told Timothy again in 2 Timothy to be strong in the grace, and we need the grace of Christ Jesus in our lives. We need Him to guide us and help us. We need Him to use us. The insecurity in our lives can stricken us and keep us from serving God, can it? Keep us from serving Him like we should. We go, well, I tried it before, but I failed and I messed up. And so we're discouraged about it. Paul says to keep going. Let me just say here, some corrective steps to take, I guess you could say. Some corrective steps. Now back in 1 Samuel, he says this. David encouraged himself in, notice, the Lord, his God. You and I hold the key. You and I hold the key. We ought to claim it. This is my God, and I believe He's going to do what He said. And I believe He's all-powerful, and I believe He's all-knowing, and I believe that He will take care of me, as He said, and I believe I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I believe it. I believe who He is, who He said He was. There's two individuals or two personalities at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Those that were shocked and in awe and disappointed, our Savior's dying, and others that knew the Scriptures and said, well, this is part of the Scripture. This is part of the fulfillment of the prophecy. You and I had to claim it. Say, God, I know who You are and what You said You were in the Word of God. And David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Notice, his God. Another place you ought to underline. His God. It's my God. People are going to say things about your God that aren't true, that aren't biblical. People are going to claim to know the God of the Bible when they speak and say things. It's not the God of the Bible. And you can kindly correct them on that if you know your Bible. But you ought to know the God of the Bible. Know it. What promises He's given to us. Secondly, we must be honest with ourselves. David was honest with himself. The men around him became quite dramatic, didn't they? Quite dramatic. Oh, we're all going to die. Everything's out of place. I don't know what to do. I knew we shouldn't have done this, David. I knew it. I told it. People with Moses. Moses, we told you not to bring us out, right? We're all going to die out here. We have nothing to eat but this manna and this water. We had all the melons and fruit and everything else back in Egypt. Now, notice, you and I tend to dramatize and embellish things. And beyond. You remember what Elijah said, he said, oh Lord, I'm the only one left. Jezebel's seeking my life. I'm the only one left. And God said, actually, no. I have many people still that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Many. You and I must be careful not to dramatize or embellish our situation. It may be a bad situation. It may be truly discouraging. But is it biblical in a way? We come back and the Bible has a wonderful way, sometimes a harsh way, to bring us back to where we're supposed to be. Doesn't it? The plumb line, it's called. The measuring tape. It brings us back to the reality of life. It's not that bad. The reality of it. You read a story like this and go, you know what? My wife and kids weren't. My house wasn't broken into and burned to the ground, and my wife and kids are gone, and they were kidnapped and taken away from me? No, okay. It brings us back to where we're supposed to be. Now, thirdly, be aware of this. We have to be spiritual. Spiritual people take big issues and make them small. Unspiritual people take small issues and they blow them up, make them big. Are we spiritual in our thinking? Are we spiritual in our attitude? And everyone else threw their hands up and they said, oh, we have nothing. We don't know what to do. They've killed everyone, David. And David said, well, hang on a sec. Let me get alone with God. And let me pray. Let me ask Him what He wants us to do. And when he did that, Philippians 4, what happened? Brought peace to his heart. He didn't get the answer. Lord, would you bring back my wife and kids and all the things? He didn't get that when he prayed. What did he get? Got peace, which brought encouragement to his heart and all of that. We must be spiritual people, and then we must seek the correct information. What's the information? David and his men had no idea what had happened until what? They sought God, or he did, and they pursued after him. Now, they could have just sat there and said, Lord, it's all gone and done and dead. We got nothing else to do, but we're going to keep going. Nothing else to do. Now, in order to seek correct information, I like the story of John the Baptist, but John the Baptist needed some information. In fact, he needed confirmation of the information so that he would know what he was doing was right, didn't he? And he asked the apostles, go ask Jesus if he's the one. I don't want to die in this jail cell if he's not the one. I don't want to do this. But they came back and said to John, you won't believe what happened. He said, well, what happened? He said he healed the blind. You saw it? Yeah, we watched it. He got a guy and he lifted him up who was lame from his birth and he walked. You saw that too? Yeah, we saw it firsthand. You're kidding. There's a deaf guy. He was mute, couldn't speak, couldn't hear. And he touched his ears and he could hear all of a sudden and he rejoiced and started shouting out. You saw it? Yeah, we saw it. We saw it. And John said, yep, that's the fulfillment of Scripture. That's the fulfillment of the prophecy. He needed correct information so that he could keep on going. You and I need daily information. We need daily confirmation of the information, if that makes sense, of what we're doing is right. Because after a while, you start to think, why are we doing this? If you're like me, what in the world are we doing this for? Why are we still here? What is the point of doing this over and over? And we need to come back to the Scripture, back to spending time with God, and again, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. We see this. Now, many people see discouragement as a weakness, and it's not. We realize it's a very real enemy. It's not always caused by sin. It's not always caused by sinful living. The spiritual person can see discouragement. We see mighty people, more spiritual than will probably ever be in David and Moses, Elijah, that were discouraged and almost defeated. But we can use it for good to get closer to God and to assess our lives and where we're at right now. And I don't know where you're at today. You may be not overly discouraged, but there's some things in your life you may be a little bit discouraged about. You're physically tired. Your brains are tired. Your hearts are tired and weary. You may be somewhat stressed out over things. And as you come, as we said last Sunday, to the brink or to the edge of that great sea, you dip your toes in the water and you go, this water's cold, one, and deep, two, and behind me is Pharaoh's army about to annihilate us. You have a choice to make, and I have a choice to make, and it's up to us. Are we going to trust God, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of God, or are we going to freak out and lose it and just give up and give up? And we see that we can do what God's asked us to do, even in the midst of discouragement. In a time like this, you can see the burden of David. David lived a difficult life. Although he was a man after God's own heart, he lived a very difficult life, didn't he? Jacob, as he sat there in Pharaoh's massive bedroom, you can imagine, on the edge of the bed, and he said, now, how old are you? What's your name? Where are you from? And all the answers. And Jacob said, this is many years I've lived, and what? My life and years have been hard. They've been few and difficult compared to my father's. Jacob lived a very difficult life, but he wrestled with, we believe, the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And he got to know the Lord very closely and all of those things. But you think about, and throughout all of these lives, they've all faced heartache, difficulty, and discouragement. But we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Can I encourage you with that this week? Encourage yourself in the Lord. When you get discouraged or frustrated or down, encourage yourself in Him. Don't call someone and ask Him for encouragement. You can, and that's a good thing, but encourage yourself. Take the initiative. God, I'll encourage myself. How do we do that? Spend time in Scripture and obviously in time in prayer, and you will be greatly blessed because of it. All right? All right. Lord, thank you for this time this evening. I pray something said tonight was a help and a blessing. I know it helped me, Lord, as I thought about this and prayed about it, Lord, that it's a real enemy sometimes, and discouragement can really take us off course if we'll allow it to. If we don't come to you and seek you and spend time with you and ask you, Lord, what is the purpose of this in my life at this time? Because we know you're in control. And we ask you to guide us in that. Help us to stay active and engaged in the Word of God this week. Help us to stay focused in our prayer closet and take time to do that. And Lord, help us to be a blessing, especially to the people around us, and guide us. Help our church, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to meet together again. Help us to be a lighthouse to our community and those around us. How we love and thank you for another Sunday to spend in your house. In Jesus' name we do pray again, and amen.